The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the Kisser Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kitzer365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Micha Cohen.
Simon Kuf Nun Zayin. This simon talks about the laws of a kala, a bride who is preparing for her marriage. Din kala hanechneses l'chuppah. Now, in today's day, when we normally don't keep the laws of Tara, of Nida, unless a woman's married in order to be permitted to her husband, so any woman who's not married, if she's in her childbearing years and she menstruates, she's going to be a Nida. And therefore, any woman who's going to get married is going to have to count a regular Shiva Nikim, the regular 7 clean days, in order to be tahar, to be ritually pure for her marriage. Now, the halachas that the beginning of this simon is going to focus on is a special halacha pertaining to a kala, which would have applied even during the times when they did keep these laws throughout the year, and even when they weren't married, because they were involved with Tumah and Tara, they were involved with being careful about things that were ritually impure, when they had a Beis HaMikdash, for whatever reason that they were careful about it in those days. And there's a special halacha that a woman who is ritually pure, who is Tar, before she gets married, she's anticipating getting married, and that chimud, that anticipation, that excitement, causes that she should possibly see a little bit of dam, a little bit of blood at some point. And because of that, even if a woman is ritually pure, she still has to go through a tahara process before she gets married. Now, one particularly important example of this today would be a woman who's in menopause, and let's say she was married before, and her first husband passed away when she was already in menopause. So at the time when her husband passed away, she was ritually pure, and she didn't become a nida since. And then a few years later, she wants to get remarried, and so really she's still tahar, she's ritually pure. But nonetheless, this halacha, this new concept that a woman who's anticipating getting married, there's a concern that there might be an issuing of some blood because of that anticipation, that would render her to be a nida in the sense that she needs a tahara process, and that's why the standard procedure anytime a woman gets married is that she needs to go through their standard Shiva Nikim. There's nothing different about those Shiva Nikim, it's a standard Shiva Nikim, but she needs to go through that process. Now let's begin with Sif Aleph. Isha shehi mechina es asma l'nesu'in, a woman who is preparing herself for marriage. Tzricha lispar tchila shiva nikiyim, as we just mentioned, she has to count 7 clean days. Now, she doesn't count the 5 days because she's not married to anybody, so there's no concern of poletes shechva zera that we mentioned earlier. Actually, we're going to see it later, I believe, that a woman has to wait between 5 days before she begins shiva nikiyim. That only pertains to a married woman, but since she's not married, there's no such issue, but she could start counting 7 days before the wedding. Bein shehi ktana, whether she's young, again, today's days, women aren't getting married so young, but in the times of Chazal, it was common that a woman will get married even as a girl, so she could not even be menstruating yet. Shadan l'ros adam me'olam, she never even menstruated. Bein shehi zekena, that would be a case more pertinent to our days, that she's past menopause. She's in menopause, shekfar paska limi lirais, that she doesn't see any normal cycles anymore. Mikol makam, nonetheless, chayshinon shema machmas chimud yotzasa mimena eizet tipas dam. We're afraid that because of this anticipation, some droplet of blood came out. Now the question is, well, we didn't find it, so why do we have to be concerned about it? And the answer is, v'nevda, and it was lost. So this is a concern that Chazal had, and therefore we keep it regardless of whether or not we did find blood or didn't. We did or did not find blood. L'chein machzakin in Aisa k'may nida, we consider her to be a nida mamish. V'gam l'achar svir shivanakiyam yeshal livdaik. Now the question is, okay, she's anticipating the wedding, so as close to the wedding as possible, she's going to count her Shivan Nikim, but there are a few days in between. So what about then? Are we still concerned? So the Kitzur says that during those days leading up to the wedding, Yeshua lived like his Asa v'chal yom. She should check herself every day, ad ha-tefillah, until she goes to the mikveh, v'chein la'achar ha-tefillah, and even after the going to the mikveh ad bilas mitzvah, until they consummate the marriage, that she should check herself. Now, I have heard from many prominent paiskim, rabbanim, that they don't recommend a woman checking in between the Shivan Nikim and the wedding. And the reason is as follows. There's a general issue with a woman who is a basula, who's a virgin, doing her bedikas, doing her internal examinations before the wedding, because since the basulum, since the hymen is intact, so that could get in the way. And what could happen is, she's going to try to do the bedikas, she's going to try to do the internal examinations, and she's going to make a sort of a laceration, and she's going to find blood on them, and it's going to create a whole issue where really it's not that blood, is perhaps blood that doesn't make her anida, but it lends itself to all sorts of questions. And because of that, the common practice seems to be that once she does count her Shivan Nikim, once she does go through the process and becomes tar, she shouldn't do any extra examinations until the wedding. Again, once you consult the Masad Kedushin, the one who's officiating at the wedding, but this is definitely an accepted practice. So when you see in the Kitzur over here that it says that she should do the checking, you should be aware that that's not necessarily the case. And in the same note, some may recommend, as far as how many bedikas she does during the Shivan Nikim, the 7 clean days before the Chasana, it's a good thing to ask a person's rabbi, because, again, because of this issue with the basulim, we might not want to overdo things and create more questions. So, let's continue with Sif Beis. Now, Sif Beis is discussing something that hopefully is only theoretical, but the idea is we have this concept of chimah, we have this concept of anticipation. So what happens, let's say, if the wedding would unfortunately be called off, and then it's back on again. So now we say she's anticipating, she became pure, and now the wedding was called off, so now she's disappointed, and now it's on again, so that creates a new anticipation, so that might mean that she has to count the Shivan Nikim again. And this is what we're going to learn about in Sif Beis. In Nidchu Anasuan Machmas Eze Siba, if the marriage was pushed off for whatever reason, V'achar Kach Shuv Nispashu Lasas Anasuan, and they got back together, Afal Pisha Safar Shivan Nikim V'Rishayna, even though originally they did count 7 clean days, Mikom Makom, nonetheless, Shichalis for Mechadash, she has to count again, Kivin Shinodu Lachim Mechadash, because there's a new anticipation, as we mentioned. Afilu Bodka Atzma B'Cholayam Shabinatayim. And even if she checked herself in between, Lemahanilah's law, it doesn't help. Why? Because again, since there's an entirely new anticipation, so therefore it's not enough. But what if it was sort of questionable if it was going to happen, the wedding? They couldn't agree on the dowry and different other agreements. And because of that, it was held up, but it wasn't off. Until they agreed, or for a different reason, let's say they felt they should push off the day of the wedding. This is something that could happen. Let's say, you know, God forbid, that some sort of something happens and they can't do the wedding that day, but they're pushing it off a day or two. So do they have to go to the mikveh again? And so on that, that's what the Kitzur is discussing now. So on that, the Kitzur said, Yasu Shelas Chacham, they should ask a competent halachic authority, Yom Shivan Nikim Harishayna Mahanila. And as this is a gray area, and as if the wedding was off, that definitely needs to count Shivan Nikim again. If the wedding was questionable, where they pushed off the day, so then it's subject to dispute whether or not she has to count again. So therefore, if the question does come up, then a competent rabbi should be consulted. Im niskaitetu b'shasin asuin. Now this is sort of a little bit bizarre case that they got into a fight. V'nichnas chasin achar tachas arishin. So she went off with someone else. Pshita dilema hani lo shivan nikiyim shesafra al das chasin achar. So what happens is she breaks up with this chasin and goes off with someone else. And then before they get married, she goes back to the first. And so it says, listen, the fact that you counted shivan nikiyim for one, doesn't help for the other. Okay. And even if once they agreed to the second one, she's going to go back to the first. So it doesn't help, because since she broke up with him and she was going with someone else, even if she came back to him, she has to count again. Now let's continue with Sif Gimel. One should be careful. This is what we mentioned in the beginning, that the bottom line is, a woman who's getting married needs to make sure she's not a nida. Now really, a person could get married when the wife is a nida. Matter of fact, in many communities in Lita, in Lithuania, it was quite common for women to get married when they were in the status of a nida. Even though there is the opinion of the Rambam that a woman should not get married when she's in nida because of a technical reason of how the marriage of how the kedushin of how the marriage ceremony works, but halacha wise the final halacha is that a woman could definitely get married when she's in nida. It's not a problem at all. They just have to make the necessary precautions that the bride and groom shouldn't do anything that they shouldn't be doing. Now, so the kitzur recommend that if the woman could become tahar before the wedding, that would satisfy the opinion of the Rambam as well. So therefore, it's a good idea. V'im ha'eis techuka, but if it's not an option, lasses an assumed ba'idah to b'tumasa, must be done when she's still a nida. Ayim eira shapir sanida la'achar chopa kodin shenivala, or what happens if, let's say, they got married and she was tahar, she was richly pure, but then before they consummated the marriage, she became a nida, so we have an issue. So this is a very important point, a very practical point, which is that generally, a husband and wife, when the wife is in nida, even though it's a very serious prohibition if they were to have relations, but they're allowed to live in the same house and be secluded together. The reason is because since they already had relations with each other before, and they'll be permitted also after she becomes pure, after she becomes tahar, so we say that his yetzahara, his evil inclination, his desires won't get completely out of hand, and he'll be able to control himself. Now, the difference between that and the case of the groom is that the bride and groom never consummated their marriage, so therefore they have more desire than a regular couple, and therefore we're concerned about them having yichud together. So therefore, a couple could get married when the woman is a nida, but they should be careful not to be in a situation of yichud. So that's exactly what the kitzur says now. They should not be secluded without some sort of safeguard until she goes to the mikvah. Now, what's the custom? They would take a young child, 3-4 years old, so a young boy with the chasan and a young girl with the kala, and the ein miyachdim afilu b'yoyim, even during the day, they shouldn't be secluded without a young boy and a young girl with them, so they have two safeguards. And now, what would be the age of these two children? They have to be old enough that they could be able to tell if something's going on that shouldn't be happening. For like Daila Mamish, but not so old, Shekfar Lov Sheyitzra, that they already themselves would be sort of sympathetic. Sheyesh Locha Shetispate, that they would sort of acquiesce to it. Ela Beinanim. So the idea is they should be mature before an age of maturity, but old enough to understand that if something happens, that the bride and groom would be embarrassed to do anything in front of them. The ein chilek bazeh bein bachal alman v'mesul almana. Now it makes no difference, even if the bride or the groom was previously married before, but since in this marriage it's a new relationship, we're concerned that they're going to be overcome by desire, and therefore they can't be secluded when one of them is in need until they have relations in this marriage. Shekol shalei bal isha zu miyamav, if this couple never consummated their marriage, chayshinun de talk of yitzrei, we're concerned that his yitzrei will be strong, vasurun l'siachab l'shmir, and therefore they're prohibited to be secluded without a safeguard. Now, interestingly, Ramesha Feinstein writes in one of the journals of the Yeshiva Tiferes Yerushalayim that he was unhappy with a bride and groom, say, taking adjacent hotel rooms next to each other. And the reason, he said, is because since they have a lot of desire for each other, and no one's gonna be able to tell that anything is amiss because they know that they're married and they don't know what's going on with them, so there really is no one watching out for them. And he recommended doing more what it says here, which would be to have a child, let's say, with them, two children actually with them, something like that, where there's an actual another person with them, two people with them, or to go into a place where at least other people are around enough that they could tell if something's amiss. Now, obviously, these situations can be very uncomfortable, and the arrangements should be made with the utmost, you know, care and respect to the bride and groom. Sif Dalet. Machzik Rishasim. What about a person who's remarrying his own wife? So therefore, there's argument to say that there's not so much chimur, there's not so much anticipation. Says the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, no, Tzricha Lisper Shivanakim. She does have to count these 7 days out of anticipation. Now, even if she's pregnant, and therefore there's less of a reason to say that a woman who's pregnant would actually see blood, because we know the blood is being, you know, she's not having normal menstrual cycles at the time. Or say she's nursing, which also would be a reason to say that she's less likely to have menstrual cycles, menstrual bleeding. Now, v'im aver v'kansa koidim. Now, what happens if he does, go ahead and marry her without counting the 7 clean days? Mutarm l'siachet. So they already are a different story. They could be secluded. Why? Because the kivin shabo aleha, because they already had relations in the previous marriage with each other. Because again, this is the same husband and wife. Just they were divorced. Now they're getting back together. Then he wouldn't be overcome by his evil inclination. So basically, a couple that were married to each other and they broke up, and obviously knew that the wife didn't marry anyone else, but they broke up and then they were coming back together. So there is anticipation. So therefore, she does have to count 7 clean days for that. Besides the regular laws of nida, she would have to count the regular. She would have to count 7 clean days. But as far as the problem of being secluded, that you wouldn't have because they already had relations at one time. Sif hey, tzrichin lizor b'moed moed. They should be very careful. Shela yishkav hachosin eitz lakala ad alayla shehu roit to live on. That the bride and groom shouldn't be with each other, shouldn't lay with each other until they want to consummate the marriage. Now, what this is leading into is really what the next two halachas are going to discuss, which is that during the times of Chazal, so women, as we mentioned, would sometimes get married very young, and even before they were expecting regular menstrual periods. So the question is that we know basulim, the hymen of a virgin, of a basula, so that's really nothing to do with menstruation. That's a membrane that's in the vagina. Now, the question would be, if a woman who was before, not during menstruating years, she was young, and she were to consummate the marriage, and she would see blood, so she could assume that blood came from the hymen, it came from the basulum. Now, how long would she have? So, because she wasn't seeing regular menstrual cycles, we could give her a substantial amount of time and assume that any blood that she would see would be from the basulum, from the hymen. Now, a woman who is already seeing regular cycles, on the other hand, it will be much more stringent, that we could only give her perhaps that night or so, because that night we could assume came from the basulum, came from the hymen, but later on we would have to assume was some sort of period, and therefore would have to be stringent. Now, the Rosh explains in the Gemara that because there were all these differences going around between, you know, one groom would marry a young woman and he would be allowed, he wouldn't have to be concerned about the bleeding from the basulim, from the hymen for a very long time, and someone else would marry a woman who's older, he would have to be concerned. If there was a concern that people would be confused, and therefore they made an all-across-the-board rule, which is very, very important to know for practical halacha, that when a couple gets married and and the bride is a virgin, that when she bleeds because of them consummating the marriage, that bleeding renders her to be a nida. Now, even though it's really nothing to do with menstruation, but there's a rabbinic decree that should be considered like nida bleeding, and they could consummate the marriage. That's not a problem at all. That's a mitzvah. They're supposed to do that. But once the marriage is consummated, then she should count a regular Shiva Nakim, a regular 7 clean days. Actually, she doesn't have to keep the regular 5. She only does 4 days prior to the 7 clean days, and then she needs a full 7 clean days, and then she is permitted again to her husband. And we're going to learn in the next sefer a little bit more of those halachas, but that's the basic concept. The basic concept is that a virgin that gets married today, after they consummate the marriage, and she sees the blood from the hymen, from the basulim, she's considered to be an ida, and she counts 7 clean days. That's the halacha that we're learning right now. Let's see. Sif Vav. Hakoinus is a basula. One who marries a virgin, boil be a smitzvah, he can have that initial relations that consummate the marriage. For Alpha Pisha Adam Shoish is for yard, and even though she's bleeding from breaking the hymen, it's not a problem. Garmin Biyasa, he can complete it, Kurasana, as he wants. Vaina Khaish, and he's nothing to be concerned about. For Akrashnik Mabiyasa, but once there was complete, the marriage was consummated, there was a complete Biyah, Pirish as Asme Meno, Vitmeya. Then once they separate themselves, then we consider her to be a nida, and we said this is a rabbinic decree. Obviously, she didn't menstruate, but it's a rabbinic decree, and they should count the 7 clean days. Now, what happens if they consummate the marriage, and she was a virgin, it's not like it was removed by a doctor, let's say, or it's not for any other reason, but she definitely was a virgin, and for whatever reason, she didn't see any blood. What about then? So really, you should say, well, listen, she didn't see any blood, so it shouldn't be a problem. But the answer is no. If they truly consummated the marriage, which often it doesn't necessarily happen because in the beginning they don't really do a complete bia, but once they have done a complete bia, then we're concerned, chayshinu, we're afraid, shema yotzatibas dam, maybe a drop of blood came out, v'nechba b'shichva zera, and it got covered in the semen. So therefore, the bottom line is, if there was a complete bia, if they had a complete relations, then we would have to assume that she became a nida, that because of this rabbinic decree, that the blood from the hymen, from the basulim, we consider to be dam nida. V'alken, and therefore, machzikin oisa kanida gemura, so we consider her to be a nida. Now let's continue with Siv Zayin. Basula shel achra b'rishayna. So what happens if, okay, they consummated the marriage, and now she goes to the mikvah, tavla, v'gam v'b'ila shniya ras adam. Now the next time they had relations, she saw blood again, presumably from the basulim, because perhaps there was a little bit left, whatever the reason is. So the halacha is that as long as there's bleeding coming from the basulim, it hasn't completely gone away, then even a second time it could create an issue. Now, this important tshuva, a response from the Minchas Yitzchak, that says that since the whole issue is a rabbinic decree, so therefore once they consummated the marriage, then they're not obligated to look for problems. So therefore, they don't have to look for it. But if they do find something after the second time, then they do have to be concerned. Now, but that's an important halacha. Now, the Kitzur is addressing what happens if she continues to see blood. V'chem b'pam shlishis or revius, it continues. So this really gets to what we mentioned in previous learning about Reh Machmas Tashmish, something that was more prevalent in those days, where one would see blood because of Tashmish, because of relations, that was because of certain medical issues that they had. So basically the Kitzur is telling you that if after a few times she's still seeing blood, then there's something to be concerned about, and you should seek medical attention, and you should seek rabbinic guidance. And again, in today's day, hopefully we don't really have these problems the same way. And if one does have an issue, then they definitely should contact their doctor and contact a competent rav. There's an issue of this Reh Machmas Tashmish that we mentioned, and therefore it should be dealt with. Sif Ches, this is the final sif in this lesson. Mutter Livol Pasul B'Shabbos, it's permitted to consummate the marriage on Shabbos. This is a whole discussion in the Gemara in the beginning of Ksubos. Afal Pishu Oysa Chabur, even though he's creating some sort of wound, because the Gemara seems to say that the blood, the way it's held there, the way it's pocketed there, is not considered a wound from a Shabbos perspective.